Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Allison Larkin is a Berkshire-based, internationally acclaimed comedian, award-winning audiobook narrator, voice artist, actress, producer, screenwriter, and best-selling author of the novel The English American. Her latest work is a one-person play with music entitled Grief, a Comedy, and Allison will perform it tonight through Sunday on Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, before bringing the show to this summer's Edinburgh Fringe, and then around the globe. Written and performed by Allison Larkin with music by Gary Schreiner, Grief, a Comedy shares Allison's story of finding love later in life, losing that love far too soon, and what comes next. Allison Larkin, welcome back to the Roundtable. It's wonderful to see you.
It's wonderful to see you, too.
Grief, a Comedy. You're doing some performances at Barrington Stage this week as a final U.S. preview before you go to Edinburgh Fringe for a full month, a little bit over a month of performances.
Yeah.
How has the adventure gone since we spoke last year?
Well, we spoke a year ago when I was doing a one-off preview at the New Marlborough Meeting House.
That's right.
And it sold out, and that was quite encouraging. I went to London for two previews at the Soho Theatre.
Right.
It was supposed to be one preview, but that sold out as well.
Congratulations.
And then I was on BBC Radio 4's Woman's Hour, and people were calling in from all over the country about finding love in their 50s. And it was all these, I mean, women and men who were saying that they had found the real deal in their 50s and 60s. And of course, many of them had also experienced loss of some kind. So there was this massive connection. And then I'm sort of after the shows in London, and nobody can get a ticket. There's all these very nice people who've come down from Leeds and Manchester who had lost their spouses. And we all hung out in the bar afterwards. And I was able to ask them, you know, I'm wondering, did you have a sense of your loved one with you after he or she died? And one woman burst into tears and she said, thank you so much for asking the question. And then this other woman said, oh, yes. Wilf, my husband's been dead 4 years, but I lay the table for him every night. And we have a nice, right old chat. And you know what? We were talking about the things that nobody has to talk about.
Yeah.
And that was so exciting. And then on the last performance, there was this knock on the dressing room door. And Gary, who is this brilliant Emmy Award winning composer and a great friend who's on stage with me, and I are looking at each other and saying, well, what's this? When the guys who run the Soho Theatre said, well, we want to take this to the Edinburgh Fringe. And Gary and I said, no, we really, this has been a lot. And they said, no, you don't understand. We're going to pay you. We're going to fly you over. We're going to find you accommodation. We're going to do a lot of publicity. And then after that, there will be a 30-theatre UK tour.
Wow.
Followed by Australia, New Zealand, Mumbai, India. And my mission, as you may remember, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who heard my story, had said to me, I want you to do everything you can to make sure this story is told as widely as possible because it will bring hope. So here we go.
Yeah. Does the Soho Theatre, is that part of their mission to take on things that have been performed there and
I think they just like good shows. And
yeah.
And there were a lot of people coming, and there were a lot of people who wanted to see more of it. And so basically, for anyone who doesn't know what it's about, I found true love, the real thing, in my 50s in the Berkshires where I live. And he was from South India and he was a climate scientist. And it was the kind of love that didn't require any negotiation or sort of constant sort of, are we getting on well? We just clicked completely. And he had also immigrated to America 30 years before. I came to find my American birth mother, who
was from Tennessee.
And yep. He had come to do a PhD in chemical engineering at RPI. And he went on to set up a renewable energy company in Bennington, Vermont, and I stayed to do stand-up comedy, and then I wrote a novel, and here I was narrating and producing audiobooks in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, having given up on love altogether when it happened. And so the story is about, it's a love story, really. And then he died suddenly and unexpectedly during COVID. And
I hate that part of the story.
I know, but here's the thing that was so weird for me. I had avoided love an entire lifetime because I was genuinely just, I was not going to have the worst happen to me. And when the worst did happen, instead of wanting to hide under the bed and never come out, I really did feel this acutely, I've just felt acutely alive and clear, which I think a lot of people felt at the end of COVID, that I was not going to waste 1 minute of whatever time I had left. And then that's when Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who knew my work, found out about it. And he said, Alison, you need to go back to comedy. I had quit comedy and I had quit writing because I was going to go off with Beamer into this wonderful life. We would live in India and England and America, and we would probably write books together about climate change because he was an expert on it and I was able to make it funny. So that was what our plot and plan was. And he was always saying, you got to write again and you should be performing. And I was saying, oh, no, no, I only write and perform when I absolutely have to. And right now I just want to be happy. So he fixed that. It's all right. And then, and so suddenly this happened. So then, so since I saw you last year, I then realized there was a lot more to the story that would take a book to explain. So I wrote a book. And it starts where the show ends off, when Beamer showed up at my kitchen table 6 weeks after he died, determined to help me find love again. And, you know, he accompanies me on dates, determined to get me hooked up again, which has not yet happened, but you never know.
Sure, of course,
and
there's time.
And it's a very funny book, but it's also about loss. And what we've decided is it's actually just become available as an advanced reader copy. And so we've got a limited number of those that are only available immediately after one of the shows at Barrington Stage, which is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this week.
Right.
And so immediately after the performance, I'm going to be signing copies and they're all numbered. And my publisher agent is absolutely convinced that they're going to be very valuable one day. Well, I hope he's right. Anyway, but the very first ones are going to be for a Berkshire audience. And that feels right as well, because it all happened here. And then the show was developed here. Jim Frangione at Great Barrington Public Theatre helped develop the very earliest incarnation. And I have a lot of people here who are so supportive. And so this community, it's just exciting that the book is actually launching at the same time as the show.
Of course it is. It almost never happens.
I know. So I don't think, apparently it's not been done before. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting. Yeah. Congratulations on what you've done so far and the plans for the future. How are you preparing yourself to perform the show so many times at Edinburgh?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm just making sure that I don't know. the honest truth is I don't know. It's every day.
Yes.
But it's at 2:10 p.m., which makes me very, very happy. Because being a Berkshire girl, I like to get up at 5 in the morning, which is actually 10 a.m. in England, so that's good. And I like to go to bed early. So the fact that my show is on at 2:10 in the afternoon in Edinburgh is excellent. But honestly, it's going to be so exciting to go back to Edinburgh, because I wrote my very first play when I was 19, and I did that at the Edinburgh Fringe. Then when I was heavily pregnant, 6.5 months pregnant with my son, who is now 23, I performed my one-woman show about finding my birth mother, which was called The English American. And that was about an adopted English woman who finds her birth parents in America. And then I had these kids, and I fell in love with them. Because as an adopted person, unlike the mother who raised me, I got to grow my own children. And unlike the mother who gave me birth, I got to keep them. Plus, they were genetic relatives and I really liked them. And I wanted to...
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But I also just wanted to spend time with them while they still wanted to spend time with me doing the sort of really important things like digging the banana out from between the laptop keys.
Oh, yes, that's very important.
So I quit. I quit performing and I quit writing and raised them here in the Berkshires. And then when Beamer died... Suddenly, here I am going back to the Edinburgh Fringe, this time to the assembly rooms with a big producer and a big publicity team. And suddenly, I'd much rather not have had to write the show.
Yes.
Because I would have preferred Beamer to have stayed alive.
Indeed.
However, as he did not manage to do that, it's a good use of me and a good use of my time. And my hope is, well, what I'm getting so far is that everybody who comes to see Griefer Comedy says they feel much better when they come out from when they went in. And that includes people who have lost somebody they love very, very much. And it's such a divided world at the moment. And I think the one thing we have to do is find our common humanity. And where else is our common humanity other than loss, love, grief, joy? We all lose people, all political persuasions, all races. We all lose people. And I think what I'm hoping is that this will bring people together so we can talk about the things we do have in common and help each other, because none of us are alone in this. And for me, it's been great because, you know, I live in the Berkshires with a dachshund called Charlie, but it's not the most social environment. So it's going to be really great for me to go to Edinburgh and get to play with a whole bunch of other people.
Is your dog going with you?
I wish. And they won't let him into the flat, but I may come back in early September and then take him back for the tour.
I hope you don't have to be without him for too long.
No, it would be unbearable.
The final US preview performances before Alison Larkin takes Grief, a Comedy to Edinburgh Fringe are June 6th through the 9th, barringtonstageco.org, alisonlarkin.com. Congratulations and thank you for updating us on your show.
Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to see you.
Once again, Alison Larkin is performing Grief, a Comedy on the St. Germain stage at Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, tonight through Sunday. To learn more, barringtonstageco.org or alisonlarkin.com, and those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.